Good morning, church. We are going to actually continue the series from the book of James. So today we are going to actually discuss about James 4, 13 to 17. Let's read the verses together. James 4, 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist. In other translation, it said vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. James 4, 13, 17. Church, from the verse that we just read, it's actually talking about somebody, and obviously somebody that's actually quite wealthy. So he's setting up a plan for his business. So he's planning to go to from one city to another city to do his business, and obviously with the intention to make money. All right. So to make a plan, what's wrong with making a plan? In fact, there is nothing wrong with making a plan. All right, the Bible did mention in Luke 14, 28, it say, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? So there is nothing wrong with making a plan. So what's the problem here? So the issue here is actually when we are making a plan, are we involving God in the process of making the plan? Now, James actually in James in the verses that we read, if we do that, if we actually do make a plan without involving God, James said that we are actually boasting. We are actually so confident in ourselves that our plan will come into fruition. So to be success in our plan, the fact that we are like a mist. We can't even actually control our life. Now, let's actually discuss this a bit. What is a mist or what is a vapor? For those of you, we are here in Australia, usually during winter, in the morning, when you wake up very, very early in the morning, you will see like sometimes you will see that there is a layer of cloud, actually about 1 or 2 meters from the ground. So mist, they are actually a very, very tiny water droplets, and then it can easily go away when the temperature rises or when there is actually wind blowing it. So mist doesn't actually last long. Now the Bible says that our lives just like a mist. Now, if we think about this, the Bible said that the age of human, there are actually about 70 or 80. Psalms 90, verse 10a, our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Now, yes, we do know there are people that live up to 100 years old. But then again, we probably also know that there are actually people that don't even actually reach not even 50 or 40 or 30. I know myself when I was at high school back in Indonesia. I've got actually a friend of mine that passed away because he was involved in a car accident. He was just haven't even actually reached 20 years old. We know, for example, in this current situation with this COVID-19. Now I read very briefly this morning that in Australia we are almost reaching about 900 people die because of COVID-19. The whole world as of today is actually reaching more than 1 million people die because of COVID-19. Again, it's not something that we plan. It's not something that I can live up to 100 years old, and then suddenly there is COVID-19. our lives just like a mist. It's just there for a second and it's gone just like that. Now, talking about our lives, so what does it? How does it actually relate into planning? Now, if we think that okay, if we're only gonna be actually living until we are not going to be living until 100 years old, probably we are only gonna actually live until 10 years or 1 year or even next month. Do we need to make a plan? Do we need to make a plan? And possibly we will probably pass away probably next month or could be next week. Why bother making a plan? Well, then again, how about if God actually allow you to live up to 100 years old, and you don't want to make a plan, and you just want us to be like, okay, Sarah, whatever will be. Let's just see what's going to happen tomorrow. I'll deal with it tomorrow. That's not wise. And what we need to do is actually we need to just start making a plan, but we involve God in our plan, because we have to know that making a plan is one thing, but the outcome of the plan is actually up to God. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:9, "In their hearts, human plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Another verse in Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Let me actually give you another example from the Bible about people that's actually making plans but leaving it up to God. The Apostle Paul. Now, Apostle Paul, he traveled from one city to another city, from one city to another city to spread the gospel. And for example, in Ephesus, in Acts 18:20-21, if we read this verse, it said, this is Apostle Paul, "When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, 'I will come back if God's will.' Then he set sail from Ephesus." So Paul's plan, his personal plan, he will come back. That's his plan to the church of Ephesus. But he say, "But if God's will." Another example, again from the Apostle Paul, from 1 Corinthians 4:18-19. This is Apostle Paul to the church of the Corinthians. "Some of you have become arrogant, as if I were not coming to you, but I will come to you very soon, if the Lord is willing. And then I will find out not only how many how these arrogant people are talking, but what power they have." Again, this is another example of Apostle Paul. He wants to come back to the church of Corinthians, but that's his personal plan. But he also say, "But if God's will." Now, so what is the right attitude when making plans? Now, we read before in the James 3:13-17 that our lives is just like a mist. Now, logically, if we are really thinking about it, let's say we are making a plan for the next 1 week or for the next 1 month or for the next 1 year. Again, nothing wrong with the making a plan. But if we are so arrogant, of course, everyone of us making plan to be successful. We don't make plan to fail. All right. So, but if we are starting making a plan and then we are so confidently and arrogantly say that because I'm making a plan, I know my plan will be successful. I know my plan will be fruitful. And then because we are so arrogant, we don't even actually, as if like we don't really actually care about God. We don't really actually think that God can intervene. It's very funny. We can actually make a plan for the next 1 month or 1 year, and we can't even control whether we're still actually alive now tomorrow. That's a bit ironic, isn't it? We make plan that we will be successful in the next 1 year, But we can't even guarantee that tomorrow we will still be alive. None of us can control the heartbeat in our body. Will keep on ticking for the next 15 minutes or the next 1 hour or tonight or tomorrow. We can't even control, hey, heartbeat, you know, ticking faster or slower. We can't do that. That's purely by God's grace. Now, if we know that we can actually control ourselves to be alive by tomorrow, so we shouldn't be boastful saying that we will be successful next year because our plan is a proof plan. Can't be wrong. Can't fail. Now, we need to be very, very humble when making plans. We need to just start involving God. Now, the Proverbs 27, verse 1, it said this, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." We can't be boastful because we can't even actually know what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, a few tips to be humble when making a plans. Now, what's our behavior when making a plan? What's our attitude when making a plans? The first one, Psalm 37, verse 4. "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart." The key points here is actually take delight in the Lord. It's actually talking about having a relationship with God. If we have a good relationship with God, and then it said, once you take delight in the Lord, he will give you the desire of your heart. He will actually start actually looking at your plan, and then he will fulfill your plan because you actually have a good relationship with him, because you actually making him happy, making him actually feel honored because of your heart and your attitude. The second verse about this, 1 John 5:14-15. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him." Now, I know it's probably a bit mouthful, but basically what this verse basically is saying, that if we have a confidence in approaching God, if we have good relationship with God, then we can ask anything, and then it will be fulfilled as long as it's actually according to God's plan for us. Now, let me put this into practical. Let's call a boy named Johnny. Now, Johnny was actually in his teens years. And then he had a conversation with his dad. And then during the conversation, the dad said to Johnny, "Johnny, when you reach 18, once you pass your driving license, once you can drive a car, once you've got a full license, I will give you a car. I will buy you a car for you, so you can actually travel to your uni or to your workplace." When Johnny reached 18 years old, and then he passed his driving test, then he asked his dad, "Dad, can you buy me a car?" Of course, the dad actually will buy him a car, because that's actually his plan for Johnny. That's something that he's already actually spoken to Johnny, that I will buy you a car once you actually reach 18 and you pass your driving test. Because he asks according to his will. But if suddenly Johnny actually asks, "Hey Dad, I'm 18 now, I'm an adult now, can you buy me a house?" Now that request may not necessarily be granted. Possibly, but not necessarily be granted, because that's never been actually in his dad's plan for Johnny. It was never been promised to Johnny that he will get a house when he reached 18. Does it make sense? So if Johnny actually have a good relationship with his father, he can always say, approach his father. Father, you said that when I'm 18, I can pass my driving license. You will buy me a car. That's your plan. So basically, we are reminding God about what his promise for us. All right, let's continue. So what is a plan that involves God? Okay, I'm going to actually read from Luke 12, 16 to 21. This is a parable from Jesus. Luke 12, 16 to 21. And he told them this parable. This is Jesus. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God.'" Now the key points here is rich toward God. Now this parable, it's quite similar with the context in James 4 that we read before. So this is a man. Now he was blessed with abundance, and then once he's got this harvest, then he's making a plan. Okay, I've got more than I can contain. I've got more than my barn can actually store. What will I do? Okay, and then he start making a plan. I am going to destroy my current barn, and I'm going to actually create a bigger one. Makes sense? And then I'm going to actually store all the surplus there. And then once I've got everything, I know that it will sustain my life until the end, whatever, 100 years old probably. And then I will eat, I will drink, and be merry. Now notice this. In all the words that he say, it's all about I, me, myself, and mine. There is no God actually involved in that. It's I will destroy my current barn. I will create a bigger barn. I will eat. I will drink. I will be merry. Where is God? And without his knowledge, his life will be taken away on that night. Yes. And then the verse closes with this. That's what's going to happen with people that are not rich towards God. It doesn't say it's going to happen for people that's rich, but it say rich towards God. What is rich towards God? Rich towards God is actually we are utilizing or we are using the richness that God actually provided to us for the glory of God. We value God because of using our richness. We exalt God with the richness that he's already been actually given us. That's rich toward God. Now, let me give you an example about the another person that similar to the story, but it's actually the other way around. In the Old Testament, Joseph. Now Joseph, again, by the grace of God, he was given by Pharaoh, say that you are now responsible to actually maintain all the surplus or all the abundance of the grain in Egypt during the 7 years of the abundance. Store everything in barns in the storage, and then you can actually release them during the next 7 years of locusts, of there is of dryness. Now, but when Joseph actually got this opportunity or authority from Pharaoh, he exalt God. He doesn't say that's because of me that interpreting your dream, or that's not because of my wisdom that I say that store all the surplus for the next 7 years in barns. But in what Joseph replied to Pharaoh, when Pharaoh asked him to actually interpret his dream, he said, this is what he said: I cannot interpret your dream, Mr. Pharaoh, but God can. And basically, he's just becoming the channel from God to interpret Pharaoh's dream. He magnified, Joseph magnified God in front of Pharaoh. He's not taking all the favor himself. He acknowledged God. It's because of God. That's why when he filled all the barn with all the surplus, he kept his lives. He was successful. He was being respected by Pharaoh. He was respected by the Egyptian. In fact, because of that, he could actually bring his family at that time was suffering because of lack of food to come to Egypt to join him. All right, let's continue. So I'm going to actually give some practical tips about the planning with God. Now, the first one, when we plan with God, start with prayer. Start with prayer. Now, is there a such thing called a plan that never fail? Can we actually make a plan that will not fail? The answer to that, yes, you can. But only if you actually make a plan according to God's plan. Because we know when God actually plan, he will not fail. Because we know that it's impossible for God to plan. Now, the thing is, God actually have plan for each of us, each individual of us. God has a plan. In Proverbs 16, verse 4, I don't have it actually here. In Proverbs 16, verse 4, it says that in every single creation of God, there is a plan. Every single of us that's actually born on earth here, there is a plan that actually God wants us to do. Now, in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, this is a very famous verse. It said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's the plan of God for each of us. Plans to prosper, plans not to harm, plans full of hope, and plans for our future. So, if we align ourselves to God, start praying, start having a relationship with Him. Ask God, "God, what do you want me to do? What is your intention? What do you want me to become? What should I be in for? How about my work? What should I do? What study should I take?" And then if God guided you and then you follow His path, you will be successful because you are doing His plan for your life. Number two, once you actually got the plan from God, it's actually committing yourself to accomplish that plan. Now, the verse that I'm going to share with you is from Proverbs 16, verse 3. "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plan." There is a condition here. For God to establish your plan, you need to commit to the word, to the Lord whatever you do. There is no use for you to know the plan that God actually has in you, but you don't do it. You know the plan, If God's plan actually, okay, tomorrow, I don't know, go to another city. Let's say go to Sydney or whatever, for example. You know that's God's plan for you, but you don't do it. Well, if the plan doesn't succeed, don't blame God. You're the one that's not doing it. You're the other one that's not committing to the plan. The other verse, Proverbs 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Again, we need to be diligent in performing our plan, in making the plan actually come true. We need to have a hard work attitude, diligent. We don't procrastinate. We don't become lazy in that's just a plan. How many of us actually have a New Year's resolution, New Year's plan? Okay, I'm going to do this next year, and it's only lasts for 2 weeks. All right. If it is God's plan for you, and then God say, commit to the plan, and then be diligent. That's when you see that God's plan in your life will be fruitful. And the third thing, let God interfere with your plan. Now we talked about this before in this particular point, that we can't control everything. We plan and then leave God room for Him to actually make changes. Let God interfering in our plan. Don't get too disappointed because plan A, number one, we have to do this. Number two, we have to do this. Number three, we have to do it. And then suddenly, things change. And then you need to just start adjusting your plan or refining your plan. Back in 2019, I remember, again, if I use actually the COVID-19 as an example. In 2019, November, December, that's when we start actually hearing in the news. At that time, it wasn't COVID-19. People call it coronavirus. And then when we first actually hear about that in the news, we only thought, okay, it's only happening in Wuhan, in China. Okay, and then probably none of us ever thought that it will become epidemic. The whole world actually getting impacted. I certainly on it. Oh yeah, all right. In China, you know, it probably will go away in the next 1 or 2 months. But look at today. It's almost 1 year since November. Well, it's just a couple of months. It's almost 1 year. Who planned that? If your business plan back in January, 1st January 2020, if your business plan, again, I'm just taking an example here, by the third quarter of the year 2020, I'm going to actually open a brand new office, you know, where I'm going to invite all my customer for a big party. You don't know that COVID-19 will come. Allow God to intervene in your plan because He knows the best. We read before about these two verses, but I'm going to reread this again. Proverbs 16:9, verse 9. In the heart's human plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We plan the best. We do our best in planning. Let God determine the way. Let God determine the result. Because we know the result that we plan compared with the result that God's plan, God's result is way, way better than we can think of. Now, I'm going to actually close this with the very, very last verse of James 4. James 4 finished with this in James 4:17. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Let me reread this again. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Do you know that sin is not just doing the wrong thing? Sin is also knowing something good, but we don't do it. According to James 4:17, that's also a sin. Now this morning, all of you that hear about this sharing, now we know that there is a need for us to actually involve God in our planning. Start doing that. Now we know we do not want to commit sin. We want to make sure that all our plan is aligned with God's plan. I'm going to encourage every one of us. You may have already actually have a plan that you created without God intervention. Start revising your plan. Start reviewing your plan. Ask God, God, can you please evaluate? God, can you please do some fixing in my plan? Can you please, if my plan was wrong, correct my plan, Lord Jesus. Because I want to be aligned with your plan. I want to see the plan that you have in me will be successful in my life. Start doing that. The second thing that I want to actually share with you this morning. For those of you, just happen to, you haven't actually received Christ as your personal Savior in your life. You never actually say, hey, Jesus, I invited you in my heart to be my personal Savior and my Lord. You probably already have planned, hey, William, I've got all my plans actually figured out. I don't need God. Well, as we learned before, our lives is just like a mist. It's just like vapor. Who can guarantee that we will still be alive next year? Who can guarantee that we can even actually be alive tonight? We can't even actually control our heartbeat. It doesn't have to take you for you to be in sickness for you to actually die. People can actually walk down the street or driving the car. People can involve in an accident just like that, and life's taken from them just like that. We can't guarantee our life. Or probably actually you think that, oh, I've got a plan that always fails. Maybe it's time for you to align your plan with God's plan in your life. If it is you, and then you want to actually commit your life to Jesus, you want to actually start planning with Jesus, and then you will actually walk with Him in the journey to see the plan completed for your best. I'm going to invite you to actually follow the prayer that I'm going to read in a second. If it is you, follow my prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm asking you for the forgiveness of my sin. I believe that you died on the cross to wipe out my sin. And then you rose again 3 days after. I'm committing myself at the moment. I want to follow you. I want to accept you as my personal Savior and Lord in my heart. Holy Spirit, I invite you to come into my heart. And I will start my life journey from now on with you, so I can see the fulfillment of your plan in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all.